This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help children really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I mean, when Eleanor was young, she really, really struggled with math, and a program like IXL would have really helped her to get ahead, to keep up, study for a test. It's a great tool.
Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And happier listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/happier. Visit IXL.com/happier to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week, we're doing a bit of a holiday theme. We'll talk about why you should set your holiday intention and why shared work can be a problem during holiday season. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft, who has a very exciting announcement.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yes, Scratch, I am excited to announce that my book, which is called Flower, is coming out.
Yes.
And it can be pre-ordered now on Amazon.
Yes. I'll put the link in the show notes for people who want to check it out. It's happiercast.com/96. But so tell us a little bit about it.
Yes. So I know I've talked about, you know, that I want to write a young adult novel on the podcast. This is actually a different book that I'd already been working on before we started the podcast. And I have a co-author, Shay Olson, who's amazing. She did a lot of the work. I have to be clear about that. So I have to give Shay much, much credit for this book happening. But it's a young adult romance, and it's about a girl in Los Angeles who's had a tough life, doesn't come from money, and all she wants to do is be the first person in her family to go to college. And so she's decided she's never going to date so that she won't be distracted from her dreams. And yet along comes a guy that she can't say no to, of course. You know, it's the story of their relationship. And it's super fun and entertaining, and I love it. And it has a great cover. So I just like everyone to enjoy Flower.
And when does it actually come out?
January 3rd.
Okay.
So you can't get it for a Christmas present, but you could read it over the holidays.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay. So Flower, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. So congratulations. It's been in the works for a while. So it's exciting. It's about to hit the shelves.
Yes. Thanks, Gretch.
So Elizabeth, this week, our Try This at Home tip is to set your holiday intention.
And what does that mean? Set your holiday intention.
Well, it's a little bit jargony, which I definitely try to avoid whenever possible. Like, I think the word intention now is getting thrown around a lot. But it's sort of the way to make this point most succinctly, which is, you know, most of us have at least a few days off around the holidays when we're, you know, we're not at work, and we're going to be a lot happier if we know what we intend to get from that holiday.
Mm.
You know, what do we want those days to hold from us, and what do other people expect? What are their intentions? So that you can think about, well, can you
achieve your holiday intention? Are you going to have conflict with somebody else's holiday intention? You know, what's realistic?
Yeah, you know, this makes sense for me because of the way production works. There's often years where I have a full 2 weeks off at the holidays. Now, some years, like this year, I'm working all the way through. But a lot of times right. I have a big chunk of time and I always feel like, oh, over the holidays, I'm going to clean my office. I'm going to go through my closet. I'm going to go to 5 movies. I'm going to see all my friends. We're going to do family activities. It's like we think we're going to go away for a few days. And it's like, I think I'm going to do everything. And then, of course, we can't. And then I end up feeling like depressed, like I didn't do what I wanted to do.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is when you're not clear about sort of what your intention is, what you're hoping to get out of that time, then it's easy to get frustrated because then something doesn't happen or your dream holiday doesn't occur or you might feel thwarted by other people. Like you're like, well, my intention is to rest. Mm. I'm exhausted. I'm at the end of my rope. I've been burning the candle at both ends, to throw in every cliched metaphor there. And so what I really want to do is rest, relax, take a lot of naps, sleep late. And then, but somebody else wants to have a completely different kind of holiday. And so then there's all this conflict because you haven't really thought through, well, what do I want? What do you want? How do we achieve what we want together?
So it seems like people need to just be clear in their own mind and then also communicate with those around them.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of different intentions that people can have. So like one of them, which you mentioned, is like family or friend time. Like I'm going to see all my friends. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have fun family activities. You know, whether that's like making cookies, you're going to go to religious services. You're going to, I mean, you and I, Elizabeth, do not watch a game on TV, but others do. I don't even know what game that would be. you know, hangout time. And resting, which I just said, I think for a lot of people, they fantasize it as about a time to like just sleep in and relax.
I know for Adam, that's paramount.
And then there's sort of your me time, you know, which is like, I just want to read a novel. Yes. I want to just do what I feel like doing.
And then I guess some people want adventure, like going camping or going out and chopping down their own Christmas tree or taking a trip.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this is a big one, entertaining. Like you feel like, oh, I'm going to have everybody over. I'm going to cook chili. Yeah. I'm going to do all these things. And then the other thing that around the holidays, a lot of people want to get done is service work.
Right.
Like, you know, volunteering at a homeless shelter or whatever that may be.
Right. And so, I think the reason why setting your holiday intention is a good try this at home is that you can say to yourself, okay, well, given how much time I have, what is my intention realistic? Like, I can't do everything. So what do I really want to get? And also with the holidays, a lot of times you're coordinating with other people. So it isn't even just like, okay, I'm going to plot my own course. It's like, okay, this is sort of what I would like. But then other people have their own set of intentions, which may or may not line up very well, you know?
It seems like you can learn from the past. So it's like if every other holiday season you have not managed to clean out your closet, you're probably not going to clean it out this year. So it's like, just don't even set that as your intention.
Right, right. And then don't feel bad if it doesn't happen. Don't feel like, oh, I wasted the time or I let myself down. Because you're like, it's holiday time. I'm not going to clean my closet. I'm going to wait for my sister Gretchen to come.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I will clean my closet. No, and I know that like you go to Kansas City every other year because you guys switch off with Adam, but we go to Kansas City every year. And one thing I know is I love to read, but that is not a time when I get reading done. I never like think like, oh, excellent, I'm going to read this long, wonderful novel during the holidays in Kansas City because we're just too busy doing other things. And so don't be frustrated by that. It's just not that kind of time.
Yeah. And I know in Kansas City, it's like if you're sitting on the couch reading, someone will be like, oh, I'll sit down and talk to you.
Which is great.
Yeah. Which is why we're there.
Yes, yes. It's much more that's what we're doing.
I know, because I do that too all the time when I am in Kansas City. Yeah. Now, the other thing, Gretch, is the reality of life is that sometimes we're not going to be able to meet our intention.
Yeah.
Like if you have small kids, rest can be difficult. Or if you're, again, with your family or your in-laws and there are certain expectations, you know, you may not be able to meet your own internal intention.
Mm.
And this is where I love a phrase that you taught me years ago. I don't even remember when, which is, if you can't get out of it, get into it. Meaning, if everyone's going ice skating and there is no way you can get out of going ice skating, embrace ice skating, you know,
yeah.
Get into it.
Yeah.
Like, just don't be a curmudgeon, because it hurts you and everybody else.
Right. If you're not going to be able to sleep late because everybody else is up and running, just say like, okay, well, you know, I'm up, so how can I get my coffee as fast as possible? Now, one way where this comes up in my marriage with Jamie, I think, is going to Kansas City. So Jamie's Jewish, and so they didn't have a lot of like holiday traditions, you know, wrapped around Christmas, obviously. And so his parents and they often went on a nice trip during this time. And when we got married, I don't think Jamie necessarily realized that for the rest of his life, he was going to be spending his holiday trip in Kansas City, Missouri. You know, every once in a while he said like, it would be sort of nice to go on like a fun trip. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, no, that's just cross that off your list right now, buddy. And he gets
that. That's a non-negotiable.
It's non-negotiable. And he gets it. And he's never made a fuss about it. But to your point, like it really has, I so appreciate the fact that he's just, he can't get out of it, so he's gotten into it. He can drive anywhere in Kansas City. He's got a ton of things he likes to do in Kansas City. He's really made it his own, because if his intention was like, this is the time when we're going to have an adventure,
mm-hmm.
Well, that would be a big conflict in our marriage, because for me, this time is spent a different way.
Yeah.
In a way that's super, super important to me. So, you know, you just have to come to that place of agreement, of harmony.
Yes, it's not easy. And I mean,
no, it's not easy.
Because also another thing about the holidays, and this is why maybe it's good to set an intention and, as you said, keep it realistic. Like, okay, I can do one thing a day and not try to do 10 things a day, is because a lot of times, myself included, people end the holidays more exhausted than they began the holidays.
Yes, yes. And maybe you need to accept that, you know, that this is not going to be the time where I'm going to necessarily, you know, I am going to spend a lot of time racing around, because it's just that kind of time.
So do you have an intention for this holiday season, Gretch?
I mean, my intention is just really to spend time with family. That is my intention. And so I'm not going to get a lot of reading done. I'm not going to do a lot of editing on my draft. I'm not going to do a lot of clutter clearing. I'm just going to, in Kansas City, and then also when we're back in New York, which, you know, it's like we're doing a bunch of New York stuff as a family. So,
oh, that's fun.
So it'll be great. How about you? What's your intention?
Well, this year, Sarah and I are writing a pilot over the holiday. It's actually due January 10th. So I have an intention to do a lot of writing over the holiday. But the couple of days I do take are just going to be focused family time, you know, squeezing every bit of Christmas with Jack that I can out of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let us know if you tried this at home, what your holiday intention is and how it worked for you. Twitter, Facebook, drop us an email at podcast@GretchenRubin.com or go to happiercast.com/96.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you.
Okay, Gretch, so you've got a holiday hack about gingerbread houses.
Yes, well, I actually have the reason that this is a hack is this is a way to make gingerbread houses that is far, far easier than actually doing them from gingerbread. Because when you and I were little, we made gingerbread houses with mom, and it's very hard to do. So this is a way that I learned when my older daughter, Eliza, was in kindergarten. They did like a unit on houses and homes. And so we learned how to make these homes, and it's so easy, and it's so fun. So what you need is a box of graham crackers, like the kind that come in the flat sheets that are rectangular, and tub frosting. And there's regular frosting and whipped. You don't want the whipped kind because that's lighter. You want the heavier kind because this is like cement, this frosting.
Okay.
And all you do is you take like a piece of cardboard, cover it with tinfoil, and then build a house structure out of the graham crackers using the frosting as the cement, as the glue that's holding the pieces together. And you can build like a little house. You know, it's like got two short sides, two long sides, and a little triangular roof. And you let it dry overnight. And I mean, that thing dries hard. It is really, really sturdy. And then you can take any kind of candy or pretzels or cookies or any kind of, you know, sprinkles, food coloring, all that fun stuff. And use the frosting, and you can have vanilla frosting that you use white, or you can dye it any color that you want, or you can use brown frosting, which is looks very kind of like timber. And so we just make three or four houses and use them as centerpieces. And
that's fun.
It's so fun, and it's very creative. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to alternate red and green M&Ms for the roof, or I'm going to use pretzel rods to be like a, you know, like a wood fence. And it's pretty easy even for little kids. You might have to build the house for them, but then they just put the frosting on and stick stuff on it. And we've done them for Halloween because you could just make it all like Halloween themed. You could do it for like, you know, you could do St. Patrick's Day, make the whole thing green. But it's really easy and it's tons of fun. And then they look really professional. They look really good. Even if they're not very well done, they look really cool. So that is my hack.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Even I could pull this off.
Yeah.
Let me just ask one question. Do you just use a knife or like a paintbrush for the frosting, or what do you use?
No, we just use a knife.
Okay. So that's really easy.
Yeah. No, we don't have any kind of special. I mean, Elizabeth, you know me. We have no special equipment. We have no special skills. It's basically part of the fun, too, is you go to the drugstore, the grocery store, and buy like all kinds of fun candy. Like those ones that, what are they called? Like nonpareils. They're like chocolate discs that have like almost look like little snowflakes on them, little white dots.
Oh, uh-huh.
I mean, it's fun to buy them and do something with them. You don't necessarily want to eat them, but it's like, oh, or like, you know, licorice rounds and, oh, that'll make a great window. It's just fun. And then they're a centerpiece, so it looks very festive.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So that's my hack.
Holiday hack.
A graham cracker house. And I'll put on my website, I'll post some pictures of graham cracker houses from years gone by, if somebody wants to see what they look like.
Cool. All right, Gretchen, it is time for a happiness stumbling block.
Yes. So I think that a big stumbling block that comes up during the holidays is shared work.
Yes.
And I love the subject of shared work. And in the show notes, I'll put a post that I wrote. That's one of my favorite posts that I have ever written, that is all about the problem of shared work. But I think shared work can be a particular problem in the holiday season.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a lot of people, I happen to love the holidays, but I think for a lot of people, the holidays really do mean work.
Yes.
Like that's what they think. Like, they don't, and I don't mean writing their pilot. I mean, they're thinking they have to decorate. They have to buy gifts. They have to run errands. They have to cook. They have to clean.
Yes.
They have to take care of the kids because they're not in school.
Yep.
I mean, it's like an overwhelming amount of work for, you know, I think parents especially.
Yeah.
And there could be a lot of tension around who's doing what.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's sort of like setting your holiday intention. If you think about it in advance and think about like, well, what's coming up and how do I want this all to play out, then you can get in front of it and take charge of it and think through possible conflicts that might arise so that you can try to keep things maybe more fair or clearer, or it doesn't become such a happiness stumbling block.
Yeah, because you can imagine if somebody's like, oh, the holidays are my time to relax, I'm going to sleep late and read.
Yeah.
they may not be like, oh, let me run out and get that ham for you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, and it's not that necessarily they are trying to be rude or make you do everything. It's just in their minds, this is a time to relax. And people have different ideas. Like, I am very into buying gifts and having everything perfect in that arena.
Uh-huh.
And it's like Adam just doesn't care about that as much. So yeah. He, to him, me saying, well, I'm going to run to Target at 11 p.m., that what seems odd to him. You know, yeah. Whereas to me, I'm like, well, of course I have to do this. It's my job to have all of our gifts together, you know,
right.
And I shouldn't resent him for not, you know, being on top of it, because it's not his number one priority.
But see, I mean, and I think you put your finger on one of the key problems that comes up with shared work, which is people tend to do the things that they think are important and they value yeah. those things. And so they sort of feel like, well, I should get credit for doing that because that's an important thing. But somebody else may just have a different view about what's important. For instance, for somebody, it might be really important to have a clean kitchen all the time. And so they spend a lot of time cleaning the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else is like, well, why don't we just leave the dishes in the sink or, you know, on the counter until the end of the day, and then we'll just load the dishwasher all at once. They're both perfectly acceptable approaches. But when one person spends the whole day cleaning up the kitchen, then they're going to feel resentment and angry and like they've been put upon.
Right.
Where somebody else is just like, well, you're the one who wanted to do that. You know what I mean? Again, it's like this idea of like, it's not that one person's right and one person's wrong. It's this idea that we both have a different idea of what's important and what needs to be accomplished in order. And then sometimes there is the problem where you're like, well, yeah, you might think that, but you get the advantage of having a clean kitchen all day long because I'm the one, you know what I mean? Or like, oh, on Christmas morning when everybody's opening their presents, it's so lovely and so festive. And who do we have to thank for that? Elizabeth, who went to Target at 11 p.m.
Right.
You know, so sometimes you don't feel like you get that recognition for the contribution that you've made. And then you might feel like, or I often wonder if people are kind of free riding.
Yes. And I am guilty of that. I mean, I know that there's many times I do not do my fair share of work. Partly because, like, if I'm at, like, my in-laws, let's say, and it's cleaning up after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just feel at a loss about how to deal with leftovers, for instance. So I'll just stand there totally useless while everybody else is packing leftovers and wrapping things up. And I'm just like, oh, well, I don't know what to do and how to pack this. I try to just lend moral support. But I relate to the side of this of people who aren't doing their share. You know,
but I think it's also can be good if like you can give somebody assignment. You're like, you hand them a dish towel and you're like, why don't you dry? Or like, here, why don't you go run to the store and get bagels? It's like sometimes people, they're willing to help, but they need an assignment. And so the thing is, be willing to say, like, it would really help if you did X, Y, Z, because maybe they would, you know. I think
yes.
Sometimes people assume that if people aren't helping, it's because they're slacking off. And again, it might be just they don't, or it's not their kitchen. So they're like, well, I don't want to put anything away because I don't know where anything goes. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to find another job for you.
Right.
And then sometimes it's also just being realistic. Like, I mean, as I said, Jamie's Jewish, so he doesn't have any kind of particular associations with Christmas trees and Christmas decorations, which for you and me is huge part of our childhood. It's just like all the emotional weight of Christmas decorations for us, and how we had our ornament that we got every year and our collections. And one of the things that's contributed a lot to the harmony of my marriage is I don't expect Jamie to help with Christmas decorations. Like, he's just not interested.
Mm.
And it's work. You know, we have to bring up the boxes from our storage unit in the basement and we set everything up. And Eliza and Eleanor get a big kick out of it, and the three of us do it. And you know, this year Eliza said, well, don't we need to get Daddy to help? And I'm like, no, he's off the hook here.
Mm-hmm.
He can help if he wants, but we're not going to expect that from him because it's just, he just doesn't want that to be on his to-do list. And fair enough, you know, it's just.
Right. And it's that thing where you don't want to sit there grousing.
Yes.
No, he's not enthusiastic enough.
Yes.
You know,
no, I did that,
like,
a couple years.
Well, you've been down that road.
I did. And then I was like, you know what? I could just let this go. And it's just not his thing. He's a great guy. This is not his thing. And yeah. And so again, it's about, I don't expect him to share that work. So I don't resent it when he doesn't help.
Right.
and that was just like me letting go of an expectation that I had that just wasn't, he just didn't feel like that was something that should be something that was on his to-do list.
But I think you're right. I think the key to the getting over the stumbling block is what you just said about if someone's not going to do something, then just let it go. And what you said about assigning tasks, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Because that's how you can make sure everybody is doing their share. So it seems like you have to do in advance. Like, I know when we have people over, I'm always frustrated that Adam isn't rushing to get them drinks when they come in.
Yeah.
It's like he's just having conversation and not realizing, like, that it's...
He's a host.
He's a host. But what I'm realizing I need to do now is before everyone gets there, I need to say, when everyone comes in, just make sure they get a drink. I'm going to be counting on you for that because I have to do this other thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, so he knows it's his job right. In advance.
Right. Make it all explicit. Well, Mom made a good suggestion, which we've never done, but it seems like a good idea with shared work, is like you could even say things like, today's your day to keep the kitchen clean, or today's your day to keep the living room picked up, or today's your day to run to the grocery store or something. So that people have this sense of like everyone's taking their turn and like now I'm on the hook and now I'm off the hook. And so that there is a feeling like no one's being exploited and taken advantage of. But then also people know how to sort of do their job, you know, instead of just waiting for it to occur to them because they just might not think of it. So I thought that was a good idea.
Yes. Thanks, Mom. Good suggestion.
Yeah. Shared work. It's a big one.
All right, Gretch. It is time for a listener question. And this week we have a voicemail.
Hi, Gretchen and Elizabeth. My name's Jenny. I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania. And I love listening to your show each week. My question for you and something that I'm hoping you can help me with is I am a librarian and I have about 10 volunteers that help me every year. And I love to give gifts. So every year when it comes around Christmas time, I want to get these grandiose presents for my volunteers, but I just don't have enough money to do that. So do you have any suggestions for a meaningful gift for my volunteers? I have a mixture of male and female volunteers that would show them how much I appreciate them but not break the bank. Thanks so much. Bye.
Well, that's a great question because I think a lot of people, that occurs to a lot of people, which is I would love to give a gift, but maybe I have to get a lot of people a gift or I just don't have that much money to spend. So I want something that seems nice, but that's not expensive.
You know, Gretch, I think a great thing to do is get something personalized, but that's small.
You know,
it's not like you have to get a personalized, you know, fancy duffel bag or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like on Shutterfly, they have personalized notebooks and mouse pads. I think the mouse pads are $10.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get a gift for less than $10 unless it's homemade.
Yeah. Yeah. But something like the mouse pad, you can imagine, like you could take a picture of all the volunteers and then everybody gets the mouse pad that has everybody's picture on it so that it feels special. Or also anything that has initials on it. Again, like if you can find something like a bookmark or something
yes.
that has somebody's initial, if it does feel more personalized and it shows that you didn't just run out and buy a bunch of something because since it's personalized, it shows that it, like you had that specific recipient in mind that makes it feel more special.
Gretch, another thing, if you do want to go the homemade route and really save is the, I don't even know how do you say it, pomander balls that you used to make?
Yes, I made these for years. You take oranges or apples and you stick cloves in them. It's a great thing to do while you're watching TV and they smell amazing and they have kind of a holiday look. Yeah, so that's something that's homemade. You need a little time to do it, but it's not hard to do. It's just something that you can do while you're like watching TV.
Yeah, I have such memories of you making those for hours. We would have bowls of those all over.
Yes.
And they do smell really good and they are festive and seasonal. So I think that's a great option.
Yeah, they're really fun. But I would love to hear if other listeners have great ideas. I think this is a thing where we could really come up with a whole inventory of people's solutions to this problem because it's something that many people face, which is what is a good present that seems thoughtful and appropriate but isn't going to break the bank. So send in your ideas.
And Gretch, I have to say right now, cookie alert, you know, stay away from cookies, fudge, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because you know how we feel about the evil donut bringer. It's like we're all struggling with our health, especially in the holidays. There's so many treats around.
Yeah.
And our nickname for the person who brings unhealthy food to you and tempts you with it is the evil donut bringer. So I wouldn't recommend making cookies as your present.
Right, right. Right. But let's have a list of a bunch of other options. That'll be a great thing to have.
Thanks for that question, Jenny. That is a great question.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like what was your favorite toy as a little girl or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story, long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground.
Okay, Gretch, you are up with a happiness demerit. What is your holiday happiness demerit?
Okay, I think this is probably an almost universal. Well, not almost universal, because some people really are good about not doing this, but it's like something that I get every year, and I always vow that I'm going to do better, which is I love my gift buying. And gift identifying too late, you know, and then so then there's that pressure. And I know, you know, keep a list all year round and buy things when you see them. But I'm an underbuyer. I don't really like to buy. I don't like to shop. And then when I do feel like I need something, I usually just go ahead and get it. And I love buying a gift for somebody when I know what they want, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And in our family, it's really expected that you create a list of a lot of things that you want, as well as things, you know, so you're buying things, but you're also supposed to be telling people what you want to make it easier for them to buy good presents for you. And these are little things like, you know, mom said she wanted a pair of oven mitts. I'm like, okay. I mean, stocking present glamour. But every year I'm like, I've learned my lesson this time. It's just, it'll be a lot more fun and a lot easier if I just like start earlier and then I just don't. It just creeps up on you. But yeah.
I also think it would help. In our family, we draw names. And I think a lot of families do that. I think drawing names earlier would help this problem. I mean, I think part of it is you draw the name it's so close to Christmas that you're sort of behind before you've started.
Well, yeah. And by drawing names, it's like all the adults in our family who are going to be together for Christmas will draw one name and then you just buy presents for that adult. Right. Like this year I have mom, and mom's probably the easiest one because she is really good at making a list. And that's why
she's
easy to buy for. It's exciting. Like I feel like I like knowing that I'm getting her something that she wants. It's not like it takes the fun out of it for me. But you're right. We usually do it the day after Thanksgiving, and maybe we should move it up more like Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Okay. How about you? Like, give us a gold star, holiday gold star.
All right. I give my gold star to my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, Ramona and Bill, because they every Christmas make handmade tamales. And I may have mentioned on the show before that Mexican tradition is to eat tamales on Christmas. And Adam's family is Mexican-American. And this is something that I've, you know, come to very much appreciate about the culture, because I absolutely love tamales. And the thing is, it's a real pain to make them. It's like a multi-day process. And they could just go buy a bunch of frozen tamales and, you know, heat them up. But they still go through every year the process, and you make dozens and dozens. I mean, it's not like, oh, you're making one pan of tamales. You're making, because they also have a party every Christmas Eve. So you're making tamales, you know, for an army, basically.
Right.
And so I give them a gold star because it really is one of those things like mom's Christmas decorations that when you go to their house and they have the tamales, it really makes it feel like Christmas and feel warm and cozy and delicious and fun. So a big gold star for taking the time and the effort during a busy time to actually make these by hand.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
It is.
Yeah. Listen, you got to FedEx some of those to Kansas City so we can have some satellite tamales this year.
Yes.
Excellent.
You will love them.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Set your holiday intention. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Kristen Meinzer. Also, thanks to Andy Bowers and Laura Mayer of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
If you'd like to get an email every time we have a new episode and stay current with the podcast that way, you can sign up for the emails by going to happiercast.com/join. Some people prefer to do things through email, though this email will not come to you over the weekend. I have learned my lesson about weekend email, so it will come during the week.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.